Yasodanandana, Raja Dhanaranjana, Jaya Raja Dhanaranjana. Yamuna Tiravarachari Jaya Kunja Vihari Yamuna Tiravarachari Jaya Kunja Vihari Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Balaba Griva Dari Jaya Griva Dari Balava Griva Dari Jaya Griva Dari Yasodanandana Raja Dhanaranjana Jaya Raja Dhanaranjana Yasodanandana Tiravarachari Jaya Kunja Vihari Yamuna Tiravarachari Jaya Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunda Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunda Vihari. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Brivadakasharya Asatara Sadushi Sriman His Divine Grace Shalesi Bhaktivedanta Swamiraj Srila Prabhupada Kijai Gaura Premanande Hare. All glories to the sound devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhagavai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane. Namaste Sarasapundeve Gauravani Vicharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatya De Sitarne. Om Agena Dimananda Sya Ginanjana Salakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Iham Dadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shigaro Shiyuta Parakamalam Shigaram Vaishnavam Scha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Prajana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakans Vitamscha. Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshri Prishubhanu Siddhadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpa Thirubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivastadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 32, Entanglement and Fruit of Activities, Text Number 23. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Priyojitaha Janayati Ashu Vairagyam Jnanam Yat Brahmadarshanam. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Priyojitaha Janayat Yaishu Vairagyam Jnanam Yat Brahmadarshanam. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Priyojitaha Janat Yaishu Vairagyam Jnanam Yad Brahmadarshanam.
Vasudeve Bhagavati Tiyoga Priyoditaha Janayatyaishu Vairagyam Jnanam Yad Brahmadarshanam Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayoditaha Janayatyaishu Vairagyam Jnanam Yad Brahmadarshanam Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayoditaha Janayatyaishu Vairagyam Jnanam Yad Brahmadarshanam Ladies Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayoditaha Janayatyaishu Vairagyam Jnanam Yad Brahmadarshanam Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayoditaha Janayatyaishu Vairagyam Jnanam Yad Brahmadarshanam Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayoditaha Janayatyaishu Vairagyam Jnanam Yad Brahmadarshanam Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayoditaha Janayatyaishu Vairagyam Jnanam Yad Brahmadarshanam Vasudeve Unto Krishna Bhagavati The Personality of Godhead Bhakti Yoga Devotional Service Prayoditaha Discharged Janayati Produces Ashu, very soon. Vairagyam, detachment. Jnanam, knowledge. Yat, which. Brahmadarshanam, self-realization. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Engagement in Krishna consciousness and application of devotional service unto Krishna make it possible to advance in knowledge and detachment, as well as in self-realization. Please repeat. Engagement in Krishna consciousness and application of devotional service unto Krishna make it possible to advance in knowledge and detachment, as well as in self-realization. Purport. It is said by less intelligent men that bhakti yoga or devotional service is meant for persons who are not advanced in transcendental knowledge and renunciation. The fact is that if one engages in the devotional service of the Lord in full Krishna consciousness, he does not have to attempt separately to practice detachment or to wait for an awakening of transcendental knowledge. It is said that one who engages unflinchingly in the devotional service of the Lord actually has all the good qualities of the demigods develop in him automatically. One cannot discover how such good qualities develop in the body of a devotee, but actually it happens. There is one instance where a hunter was taking pleasure in killing animals, but after becoming a devotee, he was not prepared to kill even an ant. Such is the quality of a devotee. Those who are very eager to advance in transcendental knowledge can engage themselves in pure devotional service without wasting time in mental speculation. Arriving at the positive conclusions of knowledge in the Absolute Truth, the word Brahma-darshanam is significant in this verse. Brahma-darshanam means to realize or to understand the transcendence. One who engages in the service of Vasudev can actually realize what Brahman is. If Brahman is impersonal, then there is no question of darshanam, which means seeing face to face. Darshanam refers to seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev. Unless the seer and the seer and the seen are persons, there is no darshanam. Brahma darshanam means that as soon as one sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he can at once realize what impersonal Brahman is. A devotee does not need to make separate investigations to understand the nature of Brahman. Bhagavad Gita also confirms this, Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. A devotee at once becomes a self-realized soul in the Absolute Truth. The verse again. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayat Yaishu Vairagyam Gyanam Yad Brahma Darshanam. Engagement in Krishna consciousness and application of devotional service unto Krishna make it possible to advance in knowledge and detachment as well as in self-realization. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Vacharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskyatya De Sudharane. The practice and the purpose of Krishna consciousness and devotional service are explained here. That we're performing activities, devotional service. Generally, devotional service means those activities which are authorized by the previous acharyas. And then at the same time, we're trying to perform those activities in the proper consciousness. And the ultimate consciousness is the consciousness of devotion, which helps us become Krishna conscious. We can't force Krishna to reveal himself to us. That revelation begins with memory, just remembering Krishna. Of course, there may be different levels of remembering Krishna. For instance, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has said, Rasaham apsnu kontiya prabhasi shasi suryo pranava sarva vedeshu shabdake purusham rishu, that I am the taste in the water, the light in the sun and the moon, the syllable Om in the Vedic mantras, the sound in ether, and the ability in man. And at the end of the 10th chapter, Krishna has said, Yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam shrimad orjitam eva va tat eva va gachatvam mamate jangsa sambhavam. Know that whatever glorious and mighty creations, know that these things but spring but from but a spark of my splendor. In other words, there is nothing but Krishna and Krishna's energies. Of course, Krishna's energies are not Krishna, so all of us are now situated in Krishna's energies, but that doesn't mean that we're Krishna conscious. But when we learn to see how Krishna's energies are related to Krishna, then the energies, seeing the energies, dealing with the energies, will help us remember Krishna. And by remembering Krishna, then we come to, that's called Krishna consciousness. And of course, to actually become conscious of Krishna in the proper sense, not only we have to utilize Krishna's, see how things are related to Krishna, but also utilize our energies in the service of Krishna. Then we'll automatically remember Krishna in the mood of devotion. any other activity, instead of helping us remember Krishna, will help us remember some of the three modes of material nature. Material nature, or the material existence, exists simply on forgetfulness. And that forgetfulness is due to the fact that we have a desire, or many desires, to be independent of Krishna. And that independence of Krishna is manifested in this world by doing things seemingly for ourselves without dedicating the work to Krishna. Therefore, in the Bhagavatam it is said, Naishkarmyam apyachuta bhava varditam nishobhyate jnanam alam niranjanam kutakpanas shasvara bhadram ishvare nacharpitam karma yad apyavarya karanam. That even self-realization, that is understanding that we're not this body, doesn't look very well if it's devoid of the conception of the infallible Lord, Achyuta. And what to speak of fruitive activities, which are naturally painful and temporary from the very beginning, if not utilized in the devotional service of Krishna. In other words, Krishna consciousness is based upon the attitude of service. Service means to Krishna. And we find out what Krishna wants by three things. One is we have to use our intelligence. Second is we have to study the scriptures. And third, we have to pray for the mercy of the Supersoul, who is within our heart, and the mercy of his representatives, so that we can understand clearly what Krishna wants us to do with this body, with this mind, with our words. And the result should be, what is the result we're looking for? Are we looking for people to praise us? Are we looking for some comfortable situation? Are we looking for some... What are we looking for? In the mode of ignorance, people are looking to control the material world. They're thinking that if I make certain arrangements, then I'll actually be able to manipulate the material energy as I'd like it to be. Unknowing that we ourselves as souls, we can't do anything. We have a capacity to desire because we have free will, but we are not the independent controllers of the material nature, and every moment, whatever happens in the material nature depends upon a combination of five factors, and out of the five factors, the Supreme Lord is the ultimate doer of the activities, the director of the activities. Although the soul, because the soul, ourselves, we desire, therefore Krishna being neutral will certainly create situations to fulfill the desires of the souls. But ultimately the soul cannot independently do anything without the assistance of Krishna and the material energy. So when the soul thinks itself to be independent, that's called a mode of ignorance. And when the soul, even having some knowledge about the Supreme Lord and how the material nature works, although not very clear knowledge, wants to enjoy the material nature, that's called a mode of passion. And when the soul understands that he's not the doer, he's the desirer, but he thinks his desires are saving the world, that's called the mode of goodness. He may act properly, he may understand things purely, clearly, but he thinks he's the savior of everyone because he's been enlightened. But actually it's Krishna who's the controller, Krishna who's the ultimate enjoyer, and it's Krishna who's ultimately the savior. And the soul, when he understands that, then he can actually become, Krishna says, peaceful. And as soon as he forgets that, then he becomes full of anxiety. Therefore, in the beginning, we have to recognize that we are not the independent doers of anything, nor are we here to enjoy the material nature. That is not in our interest, nor are we going to save anyone. All we can do is save ourselves by taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his representatives and finding out what they want us to do and therefore becoming an instrument, surrendering back the stolen goods, so to speak. This body, this mind, our intelligence, they're all just stolen goods from Krishna because of our independent desires. Therefore, we simply want to surrender back the stolen goods, find out what Krishna wants us to do, how he wants us to think, how he wants us to see things, and then be willing to be an instrument under the guidance of Krishna and his representatives. Then if we have the proper attitude, not only we're an instrument, but we're an instrument for Krishna's pleasure. We want Krishna to be happy. That's called devotion. We have no goal in life, save and except to act in Krishna consciousness just to satisfy Krishna. And therefore, one who acts in that way, certainly he'll remember Krishna, because Krishna will reveal himself. And that's called Krishna consciousness. Therefore, it's not as important what we're doing, but the fact that we're doing what Krishna and his representatives want us to do, and we're doing it to please them. Then the result is we'll actually think of Krishna. Thinking of Krishna may not be that all of a sudden we remember Krishna with a flute and peacock feather, etc. Although that is, as Prabhupada says, the most confidential knowledge about Krishna. But at least we should see how everyone and everything is related to Krishna. Not for 5 minutes during the day, a half an hour during the Bhagavatam class, but we want to take that vision wherever we go, wherever we're doing. See, sarabhutastam atmanam sarabhutani chatmani ikshate yoga yukta atma saratara samadarshanaha. That the true yogi observes me in all beings and sees every being in me. Indeed, the self-realized soul sees me, the same Supreme Lord, everywhere. And for one who sees me everywhere and who sees everything in me, I am never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me. The art of devotional service, because Krishna says it's an art, is that art of dedicating our activities, supposedly our activities, actually it's not our activities, simply dedicating ourselves, our desires, in the service of Krishna, and therefore, with proper understanding, engaging whatever we have simply for Krishna's pleasure. Therefore, before we do something, we should think carefully, is this actually what Krishna wants me to do? And am I really doing it for Krishna? And am I seeing things in Krishna consciousness? In other words, before we start doing something, first of all, we should see, how am I seeing things? Am I seeing things according to what my mother taught me? Or what my school teacher taught me? Or the comic books I read in school taught me? Or my textbooks in school, the scientists, or whatever? Or am I seeing things how Krishna teaches in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, as explained by his acharyas? Is that how I'm seeing things? And then, how should I do this present activity? What should be my mood? We should be observant, not only of what we're doing, but even of our mood. Because the three modes of material nature are constantly flowing within our consciousness, trying to attract us. We look at a person, and we immediately remember our certain judgments about that person. Oh, this person's big, this person's small, he's a man, he's a woman, he's black, he's white, he's rich, he's poor. We think that's the person, rather than that this is simply the body that they're in, the car, and that the real person's the soul. And that soul can only be benefited, rich, poor, black, white, Russian, American, Chinese, Martian, whatever. That soul can only be benefited if somehow or another they hear from the disciple succession, use their intelligence, think very deeply about what they're doing, and then with devotion engage in activity in Krishna's service. And then the result is that one becomes free from the false ego by coming in consciousness of Krishna. We can't maintain a false conception, a false ego, and at the same time maintain or develop our awareness of Krishna. As long as we're attached to this false idea that I'm the doer, that I'm the controller, that I'm the enjoyer, that I'm the savior, as long as we're attached to this idea, this false ego, then Krishna cannot reveal himself and we cannot remember him. And even if we do remember him, it won't be in the spirit of devotion. Therefore, devotional service, in one sense, is quite easy, and the other sense, it's quite difficult. Very easy to understand, very difficult to apply, because Maya is always trying to attract us. Not only Maya will give us direction. Why do you keep on doing this routine work all the time? Aren't you a little bored? Why don't you be a little bit more creative? Why don't you do something that will give you some appreciation? No one recognizes you. No one loves you. No one really cares about what you're doing. Do something that you want to do. So Maya will always try to attract us to doing something that we so-called want to do, that our conditioned nature will force us to do. And if we act as a matter of duty, then Maya will say, you got the wrong attitude. People should appreciate you. Not that you keep on appreciating everyone, but if you do tell everyone how nice they are, it's only so they should reciprocate, so they can realize how nice you are. And then if we can overcome that and realize that we're not here for emotional fulfillment from the material sense, we're here to please Krishna, then to see things properly. That not that I've become a great personality, I've overcome my body, my mind, I've come to the platform of liberation, therefore I'm practically as good as God. No, one should always remain meek and humble, realizing that whatever progress we made or can make is not by simply our own initiative or our own goodwill. It's by the mercy of the previous acharyas, by the mercy of Krishna, by the mercy of the present devotees. Because not only we're executing the will of the previous acharyas, but we're doing it in the association of devotees. And from them, we get instructions, we learn, and we get inspiration how to make advancement in this art of pure devotional service. So just in summary, devotional service should be quite simple. Whatever we do, we should use our intelligence, first of all. That doesn't mean intelligence, how to be cunning and how to manipulate the material nature. Intelligence and Krishna consciousness, how to see things properly. What's actually going on, not what I think is going on, or what I'd like to be going on. To actually see what's going on, and then to apply the Shastra. Not only with the background of spiritual life, that everyone is a soul and Krishna is God, but also see actually what the three modes of nature are presenting before me, and how I should act appropriately, according to Shastra. So that's a combination of intelligence and Shastra. And then at the same time, we have to pray for the mercy of the super soul so it becomes clear what they really want me to do. My intelligence may not be very clear. My understanding of the Shastra may not be so clear. But if I take shelter of the devotees and in a humble way investigate before I do something, and only when they give me their mercy and everything becomes clear, and then I do it, can I actually act in full Krishna consciousness without any hesitation for the satisfaction of Krishna. And then Krishna will be very pleased, and he'll help enlighten us a little bit more, that actually I am Krishna's servant, everyone else is Krishna's servant, everything that's taking place is by Krishna's arrangement to help not only myself, but all other living entities come back to the spiritual kingdom. And if I do the best I can under my circumstances, then Krishna will be very happy, and my life will become perfect. So, thank you. Any questions? Yes. Or at least some part of it. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shantim richati. The sage is knowing me. Be the ultimate purpose of all sacrifices and austerities, the Supreme Lord of all planets and demigods, and the ultimate benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material miseries. Or, as Krishna says, Mitra Matram Bhavasavasachin, just try to become an instrument for me. Don't try and take my place. Yes.
I get myself become conscious and then become
Well, first of all, our process is to become Krishna conscious. That is consciousness. But in the endeavor to become Krishna conscious, gradually we'll actually become conscious. So they'll both go simultaneously. It's not one and then the other. We can't. We're not trying to become conscious first and then trying to become Krishna conscious. We're trying to become conscious by becoming Krishna conscious. Becoming conscious first means to try to go from the mode of ignorance to the mode of passion to the mode of goodness and then transcendence. That's the indirect path. But our path is, by becoming Krishna conscious, automatically we transcend the modes of nature. We gradually become elevated through the modes of nature by taking shelter of devotional service in Krishna consciousness. Yes. The background is spiritual. The background is the soul. In the foreground, though, what we're seeing are the three modes of nature. So therefore, you can tell what mode of nature the person's in by their many different ways, by their talk, by their activities. Krishna says there's work, there's worker, there's intelligence, there's determination, there's happiness, there's food, there's renunciation, there's charity, all in the modes of nature. So you can tell what mode of nature the person is situated according to many different things. Yeah, of course they're going from the mode of ignorance, they're gradually getting to the mode of passion, and then as we become purified, we're watching the modes change. The soul becoming enlivened and enlightened. As the soul becomes enlightened and enlivened, then the activities change. Just like if you learn how to drive your car better, then the car drives better. You learn how to take care of your car, but the car is not that because the car looks nicer, the soul is advancing. No, because the soul is advancing, therefore the car is going. He knows how to drive the car and he takes care of it better. Yes.
I was talking to a devotee the other day and I was commenting on another devotee's unusual behavior that I think seems to be unusual to me. And that devotee told me, well, no, actually, that devotee is a. What do they call it?
Avaduta?
Yes.
That's a misnomer.
I said, are you sure this person is an Avaduta? Because that would mean the self will is so. And he said, oh, yes. And he was quite certain. So I was wondering, is there like a real good definition?
Yeah, person who's on the transcendental platform. It doesn't follow, because he's on the transcendental platform, or she, they don't follow the rules and regulations naturally. I don't think we have any avidutas around here that I've seen.
Like for someone who's an ordinary devotee, how would I know an avidutas from not
knowing? Oh, from what they say, how would you know? We may not know, unless we were an avaduta ourselves. But generally, we use the scripture, our intelligence. Prabhupada said they have these big kirtans. They're chanting Hare Krishna, playing very excitedly on the mridanga for some hours in India, some groups. And then at the end of the kirtan, they take a break and start smoking bidis. So how do we know they were in ecstasy? Because they were in ecstasy, why are they smoking bidis? So if someone's an avaduta, they'd be manifesting all the qualities. Yes, yasti bhakti or bhagavata kinchana, savarganas tatra samasite sura, hara bhaktasi kuto mahaguna, manorate nasati dabato mahi. All the qualities of the demigods would be manifested within that person. But then the question is, if this devotee is an avaduta, how did they become avadutas? Who did they follow to become an avaduta? Was it some period in their devotional service? They strictly followed all the rules and regulations. They offenselessly chanted the holy name. And they spread Krishna consciousness all around the world. They reached the self-realized platform. And then out of some reason or another, they manifested it as an avaduta. sometimes we use words lightly. In other words, generally the idea is we don't want to offend the devotee by saying that this person is more or less half mad. So we call them an avaduta, just as a, more or less an affectionate term for a half mad devotee. But there might be another way of describing the devotee, which is not necessarily misusing the word avaduta, because that's almost like an offense to the devotee. How is he, how are they sure? They have a thermometer for avaduta? Do they ask him how they could be so sure? Oh, I mean. No, we don't want to hurt people's feelings, but we don't want to. It's an insult to call someone something that they're really not, just out of. But at the same time, we understand that anyone who's engaged in devotional service, even if they are somewhat crazy, still, it's the soul is engaged. They'll get benefited. They'll make advancement. Brothers, it doesn't really depend completely on your mental state to engage in devotional service. Just like that bum who walked into 22nd Avenue with the rolls of went to use the restroom there, the toilet, and then came out and said, oh, and started to yell and scream a little bit, and then came back with some toilet paper because he saw there was no toilet paper and tissues in the bathroom, and then walked out. And Prabhupada said that's the beginning of his devotional service. He's half crazy. He's a drunk, but still he's done some service. Krishna saw that. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande.